Brilliant. Highs today of 7 degrees centigrade, lows of 0 degrees centigrade. Cold at first, but sunny spells later for all areas.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yay! It's like setting the clock. Yeah, two weeks. Every 2 weeks, the fortnight there, Gabriella's on the case there. It's fingers on the pulse and sorted through. So how was the birthday, Gabriella? I think I managed to get a sort of a congratulatory message to you about midway through it, by which time you're probably just partying all over the whole thing. Has the rock survived?
The rock has survived. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't... It was just a normal birthday.
Just a normal birthday?
There's never a normal birthday.
AL, you know, the normal.
The time when Gabriella Peralta, born, of course, in the 20th century, actually sort of emerged on the whole sort of sequence. It's amazing. You know, this is great. And as I pointed out, Claire, I think a seminar a few weeks ago, you will be one of the last sort of people who can actually say, born in the 20th century.
It's quite a... Quite a statement to make, really.
Coming round very shortly, we'll have undergraduates who just, it's like a different...
It's terrifying.
21st century people, that's the clear thing. So, weather in Gibraltar, Gabriella?
12 degrees. So cold for us.
Yeah. That's only 5 degrees ahead of where we are in terms of highs, so it's okay. It is February. You're in the Northern Hemisphere. You've got to allow the Barbary apes. Is it Barbary apes? You keep saying Barbary apes there, but are they just...
They're called Barbary macaques, and there's a discussion of whether or not they're apes, because they're tailless monkeys.
You see, this is it. This is the crucial routine. Apes or not apes? You know, Caesar or not Caesar? You know, do they actually communicate in sign language at all?
No. They do like clicks of their mouths, I think, to talk.
Well,
sounds like most students as well, really.
took the clicks right out of my mouth there, Claire. You know, quite clearly, it's amazing from the point of view. Does the Gibraltarian Chronicle ever turn around and say, Gabriella, enough of the court reporting, okay? I want you to go out there and talk and find out what the macaques think about this. You know, What's that sort of point of view? Because I think that's a challenge. If they haven't suggested it to you already, you might like to take it up.
To be honest, locals usually try and avoid them.
Do they?
It's a funny thing. Yeah, we try and avoid them while tourists love them and try and touch them and pet them, while the locals just try and stay as far away from the macaques as possible.
Is it a bit like pigeons? Because there are people who would actually see pigeons as flying rats, you know, Boris Johnson amongst them, and would sort of, you know, and I don't think even Ken Livingstone was that sort of fond of the average sort of pigeon. And there are others who, in the classic Mary Poppins way, will feed the birds, tuppence
the
bag.
Yes, probably like that.
you're not considering a final solution as far as the macaques are concerned. They don't have to be worried. I mean, I'm thinking they might be tuned in now via Radio Flare in Gibraltar, thinking, you know, what's happening there. You know, if you're a macaque family living on the Gibraltar Rock, is it a case of, shoot, we've got to really sort ourselves out, or possibly look for some sort of migration to another country entirely?
Actually, we have. We sent a bunch to a whole tribe of them to Scotland.
Yeah.
If you're
going to get rid of the macaques, send them up to Scotland. Could easily, technically, they'll be muck macaques. You know,
that's really cute. They had a little enclosure with a mini Rock of Gibraltar in their enclosure. So
that's
sweet. So if we get too many macaques for the population, then we'll just send them to zoos.
Well,
that was the first time I think we'd ever done it. So it looked quite sad in their little crates being flown off to Scotland.
Well, I suppose at the end of the day, though, it could be worse. It could have been Siberia. So, you know, at least they haven't got... It's not like the old sort of Politburo, so we'll send you to Siberia.
I think they're enclosure, so I think they'll be warm.
Well, that's all we can actually ask for, really. You know, warm macaques in the enclosure. So that's critical for that sort of point of view. Because we need to update us on that side of things. Claire, anything else you'd like to raise with our Gibraltarian correspondent?
I guess, how's the weather been recently? Because it suddenly got very cold here and there was snow. I went home this weekend and there was snow.
And lots of people going down with flu bugs.
Yeah, Emily, we're all Jones, like full of
Tessa
cold.
Tessa Snort, I've been sort of sniffling.
Yeah.
Need to be brave, need to work through that. Sam Stone, she's never been seen as so poorly. Even Jenny Finch has sort of suffered from a whole sort of thing. So
we're all dropping like flies over here.
it's like some strange disease taking out people, Gabriella. You don't want to cross into Britain. It could be all sorts of problems from that point of view.
Yeah, it's been really cold here, Teresa. For us, it has been. We're used to, I don't know, 16 degrees in the winter. So for us to go down to 12, I know compared to the UK, that probably sounds ridiculous. But it's, I don't know, I just feel really cold all the time.
Well, it could be poor circulation,
of
course.
I know it's ridiculous to complain compared to the UK, but... I mean,
well, you are getting on in years, and to actually, you know, circulation. I'm just concerned, Gabriella. That's all. I mean, you know, maybe you just need to wrap thermal underwear. You know, that can be something that's worth considering.
Get the jumpers on.
Yeah, this is very true. Yeah. You can't party on, Dad. Alternatively, think of the diet. Consider more cod liver oil. You know, that's a different line. You know, that's always good.
Or just eat loads of chocolate, so you just kind of naturally gain a layer of fat around you.
Another possibility, but one that necessarily has certain health offset scenarios.
Yeah,
there,
a little which, bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Sort of a little bit sort of concerned about from that point of view. Hey ho. Frodo's been very quiet, hasn't he? He's been quiet, actually.
He's
asleep. Is he? Right? You see, obviously he's used to this now. He's not fretting at all.
I think he's got the right idea, really.
Exactly. If in doubt, just go to sleep. Sort the whole thing through. It's classic.
He woke up when the phone rang. And then it bothered him for a second when you called me up, and then go back to sleep, and he's very happy.
Well, that's what we like. And, of course, we've got the pronunciation right there because one of our team actually once was doing a link. I might dig this out, actually, if I ever want to embarrass Rachel. Why would I want to do that? But she kept referring to it as Frodo.
Frodo.
Yeah, it sounds like some sort of strange sort of, I think, yeah, not good at all.
No, Frodo just doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
Perhaps you'd like to ask Gabriella to give a name check to your friend and colleague who might be listening to this via podcast system, because obviously that's what we're compiling the whole thing for, because they are not aware of the Radio Player app, which enables them to listen live.
Yeah, my best friend Rachel, we recently discovered, because she commutes at this time, when I do the radio show on a Thursday morning, I can ring her and chat to her and have a catch-up with her, because we kind of like are two ships passing most of the time. And she's hopefully, I presume she's going to catch up on the podcast and listen in live next week. So, Rachel Jones, she's working for a bank at the moment on a grad scheme. And she's moving to London in approximately 3 weeks.
My word, Rachel Jones goes to London.
Yeah, it's big thing. She's moving in with a boyfriend.
Oh, my word.
It's like, all happening.
It's like the Rachel Jones diary. It's like Helen Fielding could write
we
a whole
were,
new
like,
series.
We were like 13 years old. Being like young children, and now we're like grown up, and it's quite terrifying, but it's lovely as well.
In fact, actually, Claire, a few years ago when you were just a first year, you might have been listening into Gabriella in the studio.
I probably was, because it used to come like I listened to Siren FM every morning, so. Yeah. Like, because it used to come on my alarm.
It's the passage of time, Gabriella.
It is.
But still, never mind. You'll always maintain your inevitable youth and quality. No matter how many... And I think, actually, to be fair, Gabriella's doing very well, bearing in mind she is 85. You know,
of course. So it's
very good on that sort of basis. So, Claire, last two questions for Miss Peralta, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Gabriella?
Yes, of course.
Good. And will you be joining us again soon?
In 2 weeks' time.
Fabulous.
There we are, exactly. Eva McDonald has actually just sent in a message saying she's got to go to work today at 8:30. What do you call this then, Eva? You know, you sweat blood for this particular area, etc. But she will see us next week. So there we are. Emma, presumably fashionably late, or maybe she's just watching Deadpool all over again.
Who knows?
Stand, for it was I who chose to start.
And from the moment that actually launched the slow-mo, extreme slow-mo Deadpool start, I felt the whole thing was going to be a perfect movie. And then you got a Stan Lee cameo in there as well.
It was incredible.
Just great. Be careful if you're a bit concerned about industrial language, because clearly one or two issues with respect to that. But, you know, Ryan Reynolds, I think, once again, sort of he nailed it.
He did.
He nailed it in every sense of the word. And, of course, does it then merit a recommendation and a thought with respect to our cinematic review person? No. because what Richard's going to be talking about in a few moments is going to be Bill Nighy, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Toby Jones, Tom Courtney, Michael Gambon, Blake Harrison, Daniel Mays, Bill Patterson, and none of whom actually appeared in Deadpool or indeed
Honestly.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, the Honestly. Two movies which I thought, as a shoo-in, surely. I can only presume he must have been sort of struck dumb by the fact that Stephen Fry has come off Twitter yet again.
I have to say that, firstly, with the BAFTAs putting on a show like that, I was waiting. I have to say, you haven't disappointed me. I thought you'd go for the Stephen Fry peg lady quip. I thought that would be the one bit you'd seize on, and you have.
Yeah, well, you see, if he will be so crass to actually adopt us, I just say sign up Ricky Gervais, he wouldn't be so negative.
It's so outrageous. It really is, because there you had a positive cornucopia of crudity. And, I mean, they wanted it. All right, they knew what they were getting. It was his fourth time at it. And, I mean, there'd been Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They'd been so good. And back came Gervais, and back came the insults. With Stephen Fry, it was a polished performance. And, I mean, it was an evening also for a good deal of celebration. Some reflection, I think, with the... There is a lack of diversity at BAFTA, but nonetheless, there's no question, very, very important. Let's talk about The Revenant for a change. But on Fry, I mean, he was in excellent form, and I thought most of his jokes were very, very funny. Isn't that what we want?
I just thought it was fairly predictable and rather dull. But anyway, Emma, what did you make of the BAFTAs?
Oh, why dull? I mean, didn't you find bits of it funny and bits of it uplifting? I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio's mum...
Why do we constantly have to brand EE BAFTA Awards? It's like EE BAFTA Awards here and EE. I mean, I'm on that EE's form there. I've given them four plugs already and I get diddly squat from the whole thing. Over to yourself, Emma. Did you catch the EE BAFTAs?
I did, yeah. I do quite like award season, actually. It's kind of a guilty pleasure. I know I shouldn't, because it's just watching people
and
say
yet,
thanks.
And yet you're not coming up to actually see the highlight of all sorts of things.
You're watching those who've, you know, by their peers, voted as recipients of top awards.
Richard, this evening, in approximately 12 hours from now, I'll be halfway through emceeing the official Teesside Cycling Awards for 2015-2016.
I feel
that, you know, if I go down a Fry or Gervais route, then my career will be over. What little career there is of it.
But you have to delete your Twitter account.
I'll have to delete the Twitter. I'll have to, all sorts of things.
I was on Twitter about Fry because I was praising his performance and I thought he was extremely good, extremely funny, extremely witty. If you get a host like that, and I mean, he and Jenny Bevan, who won for costume for Mad Max Fury Road, were pals. And if you see the way Gervais insulted people to hurt them, Fry's, it was a joke. I know he went
that's,
off.
That's almost as traumatic as having David Soul insulted as a wife beater by our Los Angeles correspondent, you know, a matter of 25 hours ago. It's still
The Revenant, I mean, what do you feel about, why is it guilty? Because you've got the top films, the top performers, and you know they're being judged. Do you find it a bit exciting?
Well, that's the thing. I do find it exciting, but a lot of people I know say, oh, you shouldn't, you know, awards are boring, it's just people talking. But you do find yourself sort of willing along your favourite actors and your favourite directors. So.
But no Deadpool, no Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. All right, we got a win.
I mean, I would point out, though, that those who complain that popular movies are ignored, if you actually look at the list, and I've got it in front of me, Mad Max Fury Road got 4, Star Wars the Fourth Mission. Got 2, The Revenant 5, everyone else, every other movie simply got 1, or in the case of Carol, I'm afraid absolutely nothing, despite the numbers of nominations. People constantly, when they report on these, give credence to numbers of nominations, which really can be quite meaningless. This is one example. But on the other hand, the beautiful fashions, for goodness sake, Kate Blanchett, Julianne Moore, Alicia Vikander, didn't you think they looked gorgeous?
Oh, everyone looked gorgeous. We all like a bit of glitz and glamour, and I think that is the other thing everyone enjoys about watching, seeing what all the celebrities wear.
That is a really important point.
Claire?
I didn't manage to catch the BAFTAs, but I do agree. I love watching award shows, and I think my favourite thing is the speeches, just because you have to guess, or often have to guess, how tipsy someone's got, and therefore, like, their speeches tend to be quite funny,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, generally.
Yes, it can happen, because especially the most recent one that I can think of was Jacqueline Bisset, last year at the Globes, appeared certainly to be, shall we say, a little unsteady. that can happen. Yes, it can, also deep emotion. I mean,
yeah.
We think of Gwyneth Paltrow, Julia Roberts, Halle Berry at the Oscars. I mean, but there's tremendous tension out there. I mean, it is a moment, a very important moment in your life. Kate Winslet was quite emotional. And most of the speeches did seem, you have to, time is a bit of a limit. But at least you don't have orchestras starting a few seconds after the person's got on stage. Because I find that very irritating. They don't want an Oscars, for example, that goes on forever. Of course, you can't have that. Equally, in the 1940s, Greer Garson, when accepted for Mrs. Miniver, went on for, the actual time was 5.5 minutes, but those present would have sworn it was an eternity.
Yeah, sounds like an academic sort of scenario that sometimes I've been present at, but still, never mind.
But I have to say, The Revenant, important for The Revenant, because, I mean, Spotlight is a flawless movie. I absolutely loved it. Everyone has enjoyed it. The problem is, The Revenant has got that. It isn't. It has some editing flaws, but it's a very, very, very fine piece of cinema. It is cinematic. It is an amazing achievement, and it's that, I think, that swung it. We knew for Alexander González Iñárritu, who directed, we knew for DiCaprio. That was a surprise. Brie Larson, I thought Saint-Sorin and might have a chance for Brooklyn, but when I saw the odds just before the ceremony, I mean, it was so obvious it was going to be Brie Larson, and she's very, very good. It was in the supporting categories that you had a very close fight, I think, between Mark Rylance and the Russian spy and Bridge of Spies, and Idris Elba as a ruthless commander in Beasts of No Nation. It was Rylance that won out. And,
well, we can at least thank Netflix for Beasts of No Nation. So that's very
well,
important.
We can, but whether that had, and if you consider the effect this has had with the Oscars so white controversy raging still as fiercely as it is, whether that had any effect since the major theatre chains in America boycotting Beasts of No Nation in the voting, we'll never know. But, I mean, certainly it's outrageous Elba didn't get a nomination in the Oscars, and that could conceivably have been a reason. But interesting, too, that Kate Winslet, very, very good in Steve Jobs, such an underrated movie. The whole disaster was that it previewed in 4 cinemas in America, did very well, and then it was released in 2000 and did most certainly not do well. Such a shame. However, so many good films. I'm sorry Carol went home, as it were, open without anything. And yes, Bridge of Spies, we had Mark Rylance, The Big Short, screenplay, occasional nods, but it was The Revenant's evening, and The Revenant is a marvellous, marvellous movie. Also, so good to see Asif Kapadia win for Amy and John Boyega win the EU Rising Star Award, which members of the public vote for. But a first class evening, a colourful, glamorous.
We take it you liked it, Richard.
I've got to say that Steven Spielberg.
Next week you've got the Brit Awards, you've got the Academy Awards.
You're doing well.
It's just you've got the Players Footballer of the Year Awards in the Football League, you've got awards galore. I was just pleased this actually won something. We'll be back with you in a few moments after Michael Giacchino's Bundle of Joy from Inside Out. Thank you. and richly deserving of awards across the globe in so many ways. The decision, of course, was do you go and see a combination of Deadpool, or indeed the delights of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, both of which actually won, and I say actually it's cracking stuff, or do you go and see Dad's Army? Oh, well, Richard's not going to do Dad's Army, surely he's to see there, so let's...
I felt that I simply had to.
Did you? Did you really? Don't tell him, Richard. Don't tell him, Richard. Sorry.
I think there's a question. You'd already given the clue away.
Never mind. Anyway, so we've got quite an interesting cast there. Many people have said they've stepped gamely into the Arthur Lowe shoes and John Le Mesurier shoes and Clive Dunn shoes of the series that was actually around before Emma and Claire were even born.
And is still often repeated and is a very deservedly popular mix of nostalgia and humour, a sitcom that was great fun and, well, it tapped into certain memories and also into the rich vein of quintessentially British humour. But making a film of it, you do need, as for preserving the original cachet that it had, well, films don't necessarily do that, but frankly, you mentioned the cast. Now, cast is the only reason for seeing this movie, because the cast, of course, is our best performer.
It's like a collection of BAFTA Award winners in many ways, really.
Oh, but the problem is that if only just by putting a collection of really top performers into a movie, you could actually just make a good movie by the fact that they were being there, then this would score. But frankly, it's broadly a waste of potentially amusing material. It's set in Warmington-on-Sea in 1944, when there's still apparently a chance of us losing the war. We won't dwell on that. And Catherine Zeta-Jones...
Spoilers.
Rose... plays Rose, sent to report on the Home Guard platoon. There are no spoilers in my reviews, may I remind you? I will repeat that. None at all. On the Home Guard platoon, which is led by Captain Mannering, played by Toby Jones. He does his best. He's all wonderful.
I thought he was Armin Zola. I thought he'd come out of Captain America to actually be a deep, rooted spy, but no.
Well, there is a spy apparently in the neighbourhood, yes, in Warmington-on-Sea, and even the invasion, Catherine Zeta-Jones she does her best with the role, and you've got all the characters, the much-loved characters, including, I'm afraid, Michael Gambon as Godfrey, a half-wit who dresses up in a hula skirt at one painful scene where they all camouflage themselves. It really is one of the silliest scenes I've seen. There are many silly scenes, including, of course, the fact that the women of the town, also in their own platoon, horrified by the attention she gets from these men. I have to say that this is a movie that needed a light touch. It also needed an amusing script, and then you can get away with pretty well anything because you've got a series that a lot of people are going to go and see. But it had a dismal script.
It was directed by BAFTA award-winning director Oliver Parker, Richard.
Well, you can win a BAFTA for things which are very good, but also everyone has, or a lot of people, most people in their careers have low points. And this was not Oliver Parker's high point. Frankly, it's not going to do anyone any serious harm. The audience, when I was there, saw at the cinema, had some laughs. I had a few. I mean, you've got...
Richard, you should have gone to see Deadpool or Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Well, you can, as I say, you have to spread it around. And I decided, could I resist Tom Courtney or Annette Crosby? I mean, the whole list of performers is wonderful.
Felicity Montague.
All the gimmicks and the rather silly situations. I mean, they're absolutely daft. And no spoilers, but the action scene at the end is pitiful. So those who like the sort of thing will find it diverting.
And of course, it is the second Dad's Army movie, because there was an original movie that was made with the original cast back in the 1970s.
Well, I have to say, I mean, Dad's Army is... Take it
Who
all.
Do you think I... you are kidding, Mr. Fitzwilliams?
Exactly, sir. That's about the size of it. Because, quite frankly, the movie needs a script.
Exactly. Sorry about
that. And I have to say, we come to Assassin. You haven't mentioned Assassin.
That's because I wanted to squeeze in a little snippet of Fernando Velasquez's outstanding soundtrack to Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, an illustrated history of England. So pay attention, Richard. We'll be with you in a few seconds.
I'm all ears.
Bit of expository dialogue, which explains, of course, how in the Napoleonic era, whereas clearly it is a thing undoubted that people are in want of zombies and zombies are in need of brains, the zombie problem emerged, thereby necessitating London being circulated in from the rest of the world. An extraordinary sort of ending, which I shan't spoil, because, again, rather like Richard, never give any spoilers away.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, there we are. So I would say Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, worth checking out. Moving onwards, Richard, your next choice from your own point of view is?
Well, my next choice is it's called Assassin. It's directed by Ho Sao Hin, and it's a Taiwanese movie, and it's also one, and I mentioned this movie, because it was voted the best film of the year in the poll of nearly 170 critics. This is last year in Sight and Sound, which is rather extraordinary. It did very, very well at Cannes. It also is a movie which is set in the 8th century during the Tang Dynasty rule in China, and the plot centers on an assassin who's played by Xu Qi, appointed to murder government officials who are deemed corrupt. But when she shows some mercy, she's sent on an extremely difficult mission to kill the military governor of a province who she was once betrothed to. Now, I have to say, I found this movie hard to follow, long, it's only just over an hour and a half, and extremely turgid. I thought it was a beautifully photographed bore, but the critics think it's a masterpiece. And if you like the sort of movie, and one thinks of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and The Curse of the Golden Flower, and movies like that, you might find something to enjoy in it.
Is there lots of wire work involved with respect to this?
Well, there always is in these sort of movies, but I have to say, on this occasion, it just didn't grip. There was a movie called Hero, which was regarded, it did quite well in the Oscars, but was regarded as rather a fascist tract, which was rather impressive. Another of this type of this line of movies, the fighting scenes are always well done, but they can be overlong. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which incidentally the sequel, which will not be directed by Ang Lee, was going to be released by Netflix. May I tell you, there's been a glitch in that, but this sort of movie has got its devotees. People enjoy the fighting scenes. And
is it not like Mulan, but with a kind of more realistic cast?
Yeah, that sort of thing. One thinks of Tarantino directing Uma Thurman in the Kill Bill movies. And I mean, I have to say, on this occasion, you want to be gripped by a plot. You want to follow what's happening. You want to be interested in it, and I wasn't. But the critics think it's a work of genius, so for anyone interested, I thought I'd just mention that it's been released. And
not to be confused with Danny Dyer, another assassin. Very
confused. Not confused.
But if you like wire work and turgidity, it's the movie for you.
Well, that's my view, but as I say, the critics love it.
Splendid. Well, there we are. I think we've actually sort of rounded up a whole range of things there from these slight sort of tension.
And you'll allow me to pay tribute, of course, to Dangerous Liaisons, which I couldn't before. The run has now ended at the Dunmar, but it's wonderful to see Christopher Hansen's adaptation of a novel written about 7 years before the French Revolution by Claudius Laplace. It was absolutely superb. Dominic West, Janet McTeer, aristocrats in their vengeful and vicious ways, having fun with the lives of others, whilst you know what was about to descend upon them.
And there we have it. Just addressing a whole range of things. Claire, would you like to put those last two questions to Richard, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Richard?
I have indeed, even though I haven't seen Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Or Deadpool, actually.
Or Deadpool.
No. Yes,
quite outrageous.
I watched the BAFTAs and I would do so again.
Yeah, and no, given a choice between Deadpool and the BAFTAs, I think...
yeah.
I think Wade Wilson would win the day for me, personally.
And will you be joining us again next week?
Oh, most certainly, I hope so.
With lashings of continued science fiction.
Yes, another awards ceremony, Richard. I know, it's just too much, really. You know, there's only so many awards you can actually take, really. Besides, they'll probably be as predictable as the BAFTAs.
The BAFTAs were pretty predictable at the end of the day, and I suspect the Oscars will be. But the ceremony itself may not be. Remember that the Oscars have got a black president, Cheryl Boone Isaac. They've got a black host, Chris Rock, and there are no black performers were nominated, as well we know, in the list of nominees. How will this pan up on the night? And I mean, a lot of people may watch because they think that there may be those who are angry about it or make comments about it. That's one of the reasons that gets people to watch these sort of ceremonies.
It's the uncertainty that makes life interesting. And now
that is true, but it is also a celebration of very, very fine work, and we must bear that in mind. And also, when you've got those with Stephen Fry's gift, the gab. I mean, what more could you ask?
Yeah, but he's come off Twitter again. 140 characters or less. Thank you, Richard. Time for Rupert once more.
With lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse, it's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Offered to do a kind of benefit concert for the police agencies who might be sort of... I just a thought there. We could have suggested it to James.
I think so, yeah.
In Los Angeles at present, of course, going back to Britain to do a wonderful tour, and that's Go Mister, as we were just saying, this year's insufferably catchy tune.
Yes.
Did you think it was an insufferably catchy tune, Ian Lennox?
Yes, I do like catchy tunes.
Yeah. Go, Mister, go, Mister.
We should do our own version.
It's going to be in my head all day long now.
this year's Kitty Parades. Welcome, Ian Lennox, to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for February the 18th, 2016, where the time is currently around 18 minutes to 9 o'clock. Yeah, in a few moments' time, both Emma and Claire will be leaving, which means that I will need to work our way through, with your help, dear listener, Alan Stevens, co-founder of Caldor City, and William Coles, because I think William Sitwell's also otherwise engaged today, but never mind. Ian, we've kept you very short over the last few weeks because it's far too sort of very exciting.
Probably had a good decision.
But now we can actually sort of celebrate and rejoice because both Claire and Emma are months away from graduating. So,
oh really?
Yeah. Don't say that. That's horrible.
Terrifying.
Why?
Because the real world.
You're out in the big world, are you?
Yeah. And I did an applicant day yesterday, and I was just saying to my tutor, Amy, yeah, I've got a couple more to do. And I was saying to Amy, can't I just go back into first year all over again?
Oh, you enjoyed it, have you?
I've loved it so much. So much.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I don't want to leave and, you know, do proper things. It's a nice little cocoon.
But in the year's time, you'll probably think differently, you see.
Yeah.
I received a text from Katie Grimerson, of course, key midweek driver, and she said it seems that years since she was last year. Of course, Katie is, actually.
Yeah.
So it goes. That's the important thing. So, Ian, in Newcastle, we've already heard today the weather in Gibraltar, 16 degrees centigrade. In Lincoln, 7 degrees centigrade. What's the situation in Newcastle? Is it still a bit frosty there?
It's sunny here, and it's clear skies. I imagine I haven't put my nose out the door yet, but I think it's probably rather cold, I don't know.
Have you had any snow recently? Because there's sort of been warnings of snow about.
Not where I live, but in various other parts, as I imagine probably, yes.
The news team yesterday, I trust I'm not revealing any too major scoops here, were actually looking to sort out messages with John Ketley, of course, who has a monthly show here on Siren, about the snow that was forecast. Fiona Williams, obviously, very devastated once again. She wakes up, sticks her little Missouri head round the door, courtesy of her Edinburgh roots, and thinking, no snow whatsoever.
No snow
again.
There was a bit, I saw some frost this morning, so there was white substance, but no snow.
We had some snow / slush in Middlesbrough on Monday. So
we had some snow in Harrogate. There was still some left when I came home, but apparently there was quite a lot earlier last week.
Well, about 25 years ago, I built my children a sledge. It was more like a big bus, actually, but never mind. And it snowed about twice since then.
Oh, no.
I should have put wheels on it.
All that work for nothing.
Never mind. Perhaps that was the single-handed aspect which led to, you know, the meteorological conditions changing, because Ian tipped the metaphysical balance there with the sled that he developed.
I think I'll probably next year I'll go and build a sandcastle in the Sahara, and that'll clear that lot out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's, you know, Lennox on the case. You know? It's rather like the contemporary version of the ancient gods of Mount Olympus, except in this case, it's the gods of Gateshead. Lincoln Theatre Royal, according to John Wenham, and he should know, on Saturday the 27th of February, 7:30 p.m, are you ready for this, Ian? David Hamilton's Rock and Roll Back the Years show.
David Hamilton used to be with the Twenties. Diddy Hamilton.
Exactly. Diddy David Hamilton. Still with
us. Yeah, he used to be a continuity announcer at the station where I worked.
Well, there we are. Rock and Roll Back the Years. See what they did there. With the legendary DJ, not a dinner jacket, and broadcaster David Hamilton. No, did he? Obviously, these days. Began his career in 1959.
That's right, yes.
1959,
yeah. He was very, very young, mind. He was about 20. Oh. He may be one of the few people in the world as old than I am.
Is that
in which case, I'll seek his company.
Oh, he's hosted more than 12,000 radio shows.
That's 12,000.
And over 1,000.
He's still trying to find something better to do, is he?
And for this particular tour, he's handpicked an amazing band of musicians called The Fugitives and the sensational Tiffany Girls. I think we're alone now. To accompany him on a nationwide tour of his two-hour show that will transport the audience on a journey back in time to Rock and Roll Back the Years, to the time of beehives, miniskirts, and hot pants.
Exactly.
During his illustrious career, David has worked with the Beatles, never heard of them, Rolling Stones, Roy Orbison, Cliff Richard, PJ Proby, David Cassidy, and a whole host of other major artists. And if you want to catch David Hamilton's Rock and Roll Back the Years at the Lincoln Theatre Royal. And there's the response of Ian. Just had enough.
You mentioned Rolling Stones and Ian just drops out.
There was no way forward for that particular aspect. Anyway, I just had Austin Wallet all set and ready to actually, you know, dial up and count out Love Your Memory. But, you know, there he goes. He just puts the phone down goes. I thought so. I mean, you know, on air, just to literally sort of cut us off on that basis. It's outrageous. And it doesn't look as though we're getting any sort of other sign from that point. Oh, there we are. It's his ring now. Will he pick up? If he doesn't, we'll realise that either something untoward has happened, in which case, obviously, we send positive vibes and sympathy, or Maybe he's just not going to... He's not picking up, is he? You see, the phone's got... I wonder if he's still talking. I wonder if he realised that the line is actually gone. No, you see, you give him that extra sort of scenario. You sort of give him the chance after sort of cutting him short over the last few weeks, and then suddenly all you get is a phone that's ringing in the background.
Aww. We've, like, just bowled him over.
So sad.
with the Beatles, the Rolling Stones.
Oh, it's too exciting.
However, you know, John would want us to continue.
Yes.
That's Wenham, not Lennon, just in case you're wondering. £20 are tickets, and inquiries at the Lincoln Theatre Royal, 01522 51999. That's 01522 51999. Austin Wallet, he has impressed, hasn't he, really? I mean, you know, initially, yeah. I think we liked his sort of Can't Outlove Your Memory, heartrending in every sense of the word, will be the reprise as Claire and Emma begin to gather their stuff together and head off, in your case, Claire, to do?
To the doctors.
To the doctors.
That's not.
Is it the blue box doctor with the sort
of
lovely scenario?
Yeah, oh, I wish.
If he's got eyebrows, you'll sort of say, yes, you know, major serious eyebrows. And Emma, in your own case, too?
Yes, I'm off for a long news day in TV.
Are you on camera?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing today. I think I might just be a reporter, so I might be on
never
camera.
Never say
in a
just. Never say
I know,
just.
I always say this. But
reporters are the fundamental bricks upon which the entire world rests.
Yeah.